Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. If you would remain standing, place your Bibles beside you. And once again, let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be coupled with this great congregation of people. Lord, I pray right now that together we can become of one mind and one accord, that your spirit would prevail upon us. I pray in the name of Jesus that deliverance and that healing and that victory would come. I pray, O Lord, that somebody would receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody would be renewed. Somebody restored. Oh, in Jesus' name, I pray for baptisms. Oh, in Jesus' name, that water baptism would prevail upon hungry hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord and bless his holy name? You may be seated. The word of God reminds us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." Would you just bump your neighbor and say, "Ye shall receive power." "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, when we look at this particular scripture, a lot of people, they hear the information, but they fail to go beneath or beyond the information and find the principle, find the kingdom concept or the order in which this is laid out. "But ye shall receive power." That's a promise. That word "shall" is a promise. It's not a maybe. It's not sort of, kind of, or you might, but it's a shall. It's an absolute statement. Now, this statement is made to people who have every intention of being a member of the church. I'm not talking about people who sign cards and shake the minister's hand. I'm talking about people who are endeavoring to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And after we are born again, we will be obedient to be a part of the church, paying tithes and offerings, and allowing the process of sanctification to bring us into the fullness of Christ. Now, this is who Jesus is talking to. "Ye shall receive power after," everybody say "after," "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now, if everybody wants power, this world's seeking it. There's many, many different groups around, that they want power. And the Word of God here says to the church that he's going to give his church power, but it will only come after that the Holy Ghost is come upon them. And ye shall be witnesses. Everybody say shall. Now that word shall does not mean might, does not mean if you want to, does not mean kind of or sort of. It doesn't mean maybe. God's church will definitely have power. God's church, go ahead, clap your hands. Now this one might bother you. Just like God's church will definitely have power, the born again, the called out, the chosen people, the people who will enter into heaven, will also, they will, they shall, without any doubt, be witnesses unto Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We must be witnesses. The soul-winning church is dominated by evangelizing its own personal world and the world beyond. By that, I simply mean our little personal circle that we live in. We must evangelize that circle. We must evangelize our home. We must evangelize ourselves. We must evangelize our workplace. We must evangelize our family. We must evangelize the circle that we live in called a local church. We must evangelize that circle. Then we must gear up to spread out. And we must evangelize and do whatever we can to affect a much larger circle. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we give to missions. And that's why we send people to the mission field. Because we are trying to not only affect our circle that we live in, but the world that surrounds our circle. And so we must be people with a vision. Without a vision, we will perish. And so we must adopt the vision of God, and that is reaching the lost. We must be soul winners. If we're really Christians, we're going to be soul winners. God said that. Jesus says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. No maybe so's, no if you feel like it's, none of that. You shall. You shall have power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto him. That's just, it's not debatable. So we must be about our Father's business. We must do what we can to reach the lost. We must enlarge our church so that we can stand with faith, saying, God, we've made the sacrifice. We've stepped out in faith. We are reaching for your mission. And God will honor all of our efforts. Although corporations spend billions annually to advertise their products, experts still say today that nothing is as effective as word of mouth advertising. Who in here has ever heard about word of mouth advertising? I believe more hands should have been up. Word of mouth advertising is something that was depended on for generations and generations and generations. And finally, highways were put in. And then signs went up along the highways. Motorists would read billboards. And so on and so on. And now we have the internet. And it's advertises, advertises, advertises. There's people who have TVs, they see advertisements, advertisements, and advertisements. And so the billion-dollar corporations that make their money on knowledge, people knowing about them, they spend billions of dollars just to get the word-of-mouth industry in motion. It is still true that they believe that the word-of-mouth is better advertisement than all of their other advertisements. But they spend billions of dollars to put it in front of the talkers, to put it in front of the people who will actually buy it. They spend billions of dollars to find them people. And so finally, a group of people will purchase. They'll buy into the idea. And then those talkers will begin to tell their friends. And then the business really begins, according to the industries. And so God's kingdom is no exception. In spreading the good news of the gospel, whether face to face or using social media, word of mouth, evangelism cannot be equaled, because it is coupled with a supernatural power. When we speak of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, it is not dead words. Those words are accompanied by a supernatural anointing. We may feel terrible that day. We may have a busting headache. Our back may be broke just about from work or bending over and doing various chores in the day. But even though we feel poorly, when we speak knowing what God has done for us in our soul, power comes with that. Hardly ever have I ever spoke to anybody that God has led me to talk to. Did not weep, cry, or become remorseful before I was finished. Reason being, God was there with me. He was accompanying my effort. We must be men and women who are being about our Father's business. In spreading the good news of the gospel, we must be an individual that is aware of our help. Anybody aware of your help today? I know it's Sunday morning and we a little bit drowsy, but we must understand that in 2015, on this particular day, May 31, the fifth Sunday of May, God is still God. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still in charge, and he still desires to see his message brought to those who have not yet heard it. When we like a product, we tell our friends. Is that right? When the world likes a product, they tell their friends. Is that right? How many of you like the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many of you like what he has done for you? How many of you like the fact that he gave you an opportunity to repent of your sin, to be forgiven, to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin? How many of you like the fact that he filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gave you the honor of speaking in other tongues as God gave the utterance? Oh, come on, Mount Pisgah. If you really, really like that, then we ought to tell somebody about what Jesus has done for us. We ought to tell somebody we were once lost in sin, but Jesus came by and took us in. We ought to tell somebody that we were incarcerated in a prison of darkness, but Jesus has brought a marvelous light unto us. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord and bless his holy name? When we believe in something, we share that belief with the people around us. So, if we truly believe in this gospel, if we truly believe in the power thereof, if we truly believe in what Jesus has done for us, we should tell somebody about it. How many of you has told somebody about this year? How many of you has told somebody about this in the last 4 months? Good. It might get embarrassing, but I don't want to really embarrass you. But if you get a little blush in your face, it might do good. How many have told somebody about this gospel this month? A few hands. How many has told somebody in the last 2 weeks? Look at there. How many's told somebody this week? Look at there. A few hands. And you might say, you know, I'm doing all this for nothing. But the devil can't tell the truth. You're not, anytime you're witnessing, you're doing it for something. And his name is Jesus. Sometimes people can feel so condemned about not witnessing that it has an adverse effect. I never want to be that kind of pastor. I never want to be that kind of preacher. But church, I have got to pressure us at least a little bit to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't want you to stand in the face of God looking at him, never having won a soul. I want you to have at least won somebody to the Lord. And we should put that on front burner. We should turn the fire up on that idea. We're in the end time. We're at the brink of the coming of the Lord. He could come any time. And we need to be ready ourselves, but we need to have been in the field. We need to have the smell of the field on us. When we return to the kingdom of heaven and those pearl gates open for us, Jesus needs to smell the aroma of the field upon our garments. He needs to know that we've been at work in the field. We have been laboring. We have been reaching for the lost in these last days. I wish I could witness more than I do. The work of the church, the things that I have to do here. But the people I come in contact with, I try to tell them. Unfortunately, most places I have to go to deal with the church take me out of this community. And so I had to work on that. It bothered me greatly. But in Mobile, there is people right now, because of the construction of this building, having to send me there. There are people, there's a group of men in Mobile right now. I didn't know that I was speaking to this one's friend when I was speaking to this man. But eventually God put them all together, and one man didn't introduce the other one to me. But I met them at workplaces, at business places, and they said, "Oh, you've talked to my friend. I remember him telling me that story." What are the chances of that in Mobile? We must realize that if we'll let God lead us to the hungry hearts, he'll begin to collect the people. Some of you wonder how God will fill this building up. Don't worry about that. When there was no people, he just knelt down and he formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils, and become a living soul. All we got to do is get out and do the work and tell somebody about Jesus, and God will begin to collect the people. He'll draw all men unto him. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? In 2015, we're still serving God. His name is Jesus, and his mission is still the same. He is still here to reach the lost, and he is desiring that a church would join in with him. Here today, we must understand that this is more than just a building. This is more than a pretty story. This is more than just seats. This is more than just a congregation of people. But this is a powerful, powerful institution. It's God's army. And this army, this collection of people, is gathered for more than just soaking up air conditioning. Are looking at a beautiful edifice. But we are here to be informed and then sent forth into the highways and the byways with power that will transform people's lives. The multitude gathered on the day of Pentecost as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit being noised abroad. Everybody say, noised abroad. Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now let's say that again. Now when this was noised abroad, look up there. Now when this was noised abroad, can anybody say that with me? Now when this was noised abroad, then what happened? Anybody getting that? When this was noised abroad, what happened? I'm being real elementary here, but we have it yet. This is why the devil would like to fill some people's minds with what's wrong with the church. so that they will noise abroad what's wrong with the church. But we need Christians. We need one God, Jesus' name, apostolic people who will look beyond what's wrong with the church. I wasn't even in the building this morning very good, and somebody come up to me trying to talk to him about what was wrong. And I thought, you know, we need Christians. We need people who are going to see what's right. And so we need to look at the situation and realize that let us not be people who will noise abroad what's wrong with the church. But let us be Christians and noise abroad what is right with the church. So here today we must realize that God is recruiting people. He is calling for people. He is asking people to get on board. And let us be people who will noise abroad what is right. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak his own language. Here we can see that every person, imagine this, how awesome it must have been to realize that when the multitude was pulled together, and at the end of the day, 3,000 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost spoke in other tongues as God gave the utterance. It must have been quite satisfying to realize if you were one of them people that noised abroad the good, to realize that you were a part of the reason that the crowd collected and lives were changed, people were turned around, and the church was growing. Oh, it's getting quiet now. I don't know about you, but I would want to be a part of those people that noised abroad what was right with the church. Because the people that noised abroad what was right with the church gets credited for winning souls. People who noise abroad what is wrong with the church gets credited for damning souls. Whose work are you or about? We must realize that we can't afford to be instruments of the enemy. We can't afford. You are too valuable. You are too wonderful. You are too beautiful. You are made in the image of God. Don't reduce yourself to that kind of behavior. You are too valuable to be spent that way. Realize that God did not call you to see what's wrong with this, but He called us to see what's right with this. And so in 2015, let us be men and women of God who is going to see what's right with the church and point people to that direction. Even God made mention in the Bible that our bodies have uncomely parts. But He saw fit to go ahead and proceed anyway. So there's always going to be an uncomely area in the church. There's always going to be an area in the church that's not necessarily going to complement the rest. The reason why we're unable to see the rest and we're always bogged in the uncomely is because our orientation addresses us or directs us to that area. I want to be kind. I'm not here to be critical. I'm trying to be constructive. If we will grow in God, if we will pray, if we'll seek God, if we allow Him to work in our spirit, then we will grow beyond the uncomely. And it won't always be the only thing we can see. And we'll begin to grow into the spiritual realm and the high heights of the Holy Ghost. And we'll begin to see the beautiful dimensions of the body of Christ. Today I want to encourage us, and I must hurry, but I want to encourage us that it's time for us to put the uncomely areas on beside us and behind us and move forward to the beauty of the kingdom of God. In 2015, we still must have revival on our mind. We still must have soul winning on our mind. We must still have growth on our mind. We must have holiness and righteousness and truth on our mind. We must not be willing to compromise any of these areas. I know the enemy may come. He may fight. He may resist. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, can somebody preach it with me this morning? Is anybody have the Holy Ghost? Anybody full of the Holy Ghost? Anybody born again of the water and of the Spirit? Oh, can somebody celebrate with me today? So Acts 2 and 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. If we'll get on Facebook, use it for something worthwhile. Tell everybody on there about Jesus. Text everybody in your phone. Send it all to them. Tell them all about Jesus. Any way you can get the message out. Knock on your neighbor's door. Call somebody down the street. I'll tell this just briefly so that I can kind of make my point. This pastor wanted me to preach a revival. He had three people in his congregation. He gets there and he made a few statements and I caught on quickly that he wants to have revival. He wants me to bring it to him. And they don't want to change nothing. And I got to thinking, if they don't change anything, they're going to keep getting what they've always got. So change has to come. I tried to get a message all that day, and I never could really get a message. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me when I come in the building, and the Holy Ghost said, these three ladies pass houses that I tell them to knock on the door every day. And they will not do it. So I get in the pulpit and I tell them that. I told them that if you'll take your pastor today, he'll knock on the door with you. He went and knocked on the door. Him and his wife and three converts is all they had at the church, five people. The next night, Saturday night, we had 47 people in the house of God. How many doors they knocked? They knocked three doors. 47 people. Some people want to just get involved in evangelism and they're prayerless, they don't listen to God, and they think they have to knock every door. But if you'll speak to God, pray, and then wait and let Him speak to you, He'll lead you to doors to knock. He'll lead you to people to talk to. He'll lead you to those that are ready to hear the Word of God. The disciples never talked to Saul of Tarsus until God first talked to him on Damascus Road. Peter never talked to Cornelius until God first talked to him in Acts chapter 10. People who are unrepentant and have a hard heart, they may be going through desperation, hard things, terrible things. If they have not repented and they close their hearts to God, we would be spinning our wheels to stay there all the time trying to get them to hear the gospel. We must love them people, pray for them people, do what we can to help. But we must be listening for the direction of the Lord. There are people all around us. And I'm praying and I'm going to ask you to pray this week. I'm going to ask you to fast at least one meal, One meal, that's all, this week. I'm going to ask you to fast at least one meal, that's all, this week. And I'm going to ask you to pray for God to lead you to that person who will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't come to them with what's wrong with them. They already know that, and God already knows it. As I said earlier in another service last week, my first convert in Cheneyville, in my first half of my Bible study, the first 30 minutes of my Bible study on Monday nights, he would drink 33 ounces of beer. He would toss it down the culvert that he was sitting on and sling it down through there until it crashed into all the other bottles that he had drank previously. In the second half of my Bible study, he would drink 33 more ounces of beer. I never pointed out that we shouldn't be drinking beer. I never pointed out any of those things. But what I was pointing out while he was sipping on the beer, I did point out that God loves our soul and that sin will destroy us and sin separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Immorality and all of these kinds of things will never get us to the place that we need to go. Somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice needs to realize it's not time to point out what's wrong, but we need to point out what's right, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has the power of God unto salvation. And finally, after I taught Charles a few weeks sitting on that culvert while he drank that beer, finally he stood up and he realized in his heart that he had sin in his life. And Charles was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the end of a concrete culvert. And I never known him to touch another sip of beer or whiskey or any of the rest of it. Let's don't go pointing out what's wrong, but let's point out the power of God unto salvation, and it'll seep into their soul. It'll change their life. Went from winning Charles on a Monday night after many Monday nights of teaching. But he said, Pastor, I had one convert. He said, meet me in that crack house next Monday night. I didn't even know it was a house in all them weeds. Pulled up, walked through all the poison ivy and all the weeds, touched the screen door and it just fell. When it hit the floor, it just swirled in dust like that. I tried to open the front door. I finally got through. There sat an old rotten chair. And about dark on a Monday night, Charles, big man, he's tall as the door, and he says, Pastor, are you in here? I said, yeah. He said, we are too. And they started falling out of the attic in about every kind of place you can imagine. 14 men. He goes out the window. He drags an extension cord with him. He goes across the hurricane fence beside that old crack house, and I can hear the cord sliding on that galvanized fence. And then he goes under the house, and he plugs in to their electricity. They were so kind to supply us with light. The light comes on, and I've got seven Bloods right here, blue bandanas. I got seven Crips right here, and they're staring at each other. I said, my goodness, turn the light off. The darkness was better. Charles comes back in there and he walks down between them. And he calls them everything you can imagine. I can't use those words anytime, especially not here. Finally, I got a hold of Charles, told him that's not the way to do it. He stood down at one end. He said, if any of you move, I'm going to knock you out. He said, you need to let this man preach to you. He was so big, he could stand like that and put his arm right on top of just about any one of them's head. I stand there and I begin to preach. Just shortly, the Lord stopped me. He said, tell them to sing a song. They started singing some old song. It's an old spiritual. And the Holy Ghost moved in that place. And they began to fall all over the floor. Crack pipes began to roll out. They got up and began to walk on top of them crack pipes. And they began to crush them under their feet. 14 men was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that first night. One of those men had committed a serious crime before he come into that house that night, and the laws had chased him to that area, and finally they began to hear the noise in the house. They eased up into all the bushes, began to peer in through the window, and they spotted the man. But when they found him, he was intoxicated under the power of the Holy Ghost. And all they could see is us doing all that kind of stuff. They had no clue what was going on, but they could feel the power of God. So they waited until I was done. When I concluded the service and picked up my Bible and stuff and walked out, started to walk out through the threshold, I saw in the light on the porches, policemen gathered all on the porch and all around the house, and they kept motioning silently for me to keep walking. As I kept walking, they filled the house and come in. What I'm trying to say, when we are witnessing, we're going to get very close to things that we're very uncomfortable with. But if we stay in the Spirit of God, if we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, if we tread in faith and confidence of Jesus Christ, God will bring us to places that are uncomfortable, but we won't leave alone. We'll bring people out of those holes. We'll pull people out of the pits of hell. We'll pull them out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Can somebody help me this morning? Can somebody bless the name of Jesus? It's time for the church to be the church. It's time for Christians to be Christians. It's time for us to put our money where our mouth is. It's time for us to quit letting our sign do the witnessing for us. It's time for somebody to say, I can't hold my peace any longer. I've just got to tell somebody. It's time for us to say, I can't be silent any longer. I just got to tell somebody. Hurrying to a close this morning. We must understand that in this late hour in which we live, the enemy's darkness is closing in, would try to cause us to be quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. But we need to go ahead and resist and say, I refuse to allow the darkness to close completely in on me. I've got to shove back the darkness, and the only way I can overcome is the word of my testimony and not loving my life even unto death. In 2015, it's time for a church. It's time for a church which is called by His name to arise to the challenge and watch what God will do. There's no greater place to be than in the midst of a revival church. There's no greater place to be than in the midst of a revival yourself. Now, a lot of people want to win souls and they don't even have a revival inside of their own self. Over the next few days, let's work on that. Let's reclimatize our spirit. I've been hit. The devil's been fighting. We've all been fought. But let's don't focus on how the enemy's fighting in this day and time. Let's focus on what it is we're called to do. Our greatest joy is going to be in our service unto the Lord. Our greatest joy is going to be when we activate ourselves in the calling of the Lord. Our greatest joy is when we see our Bible study praying through in this place. When we see our Bible study baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. Our greatest joy is going to be when we see that we are winning souls and lives are changed. We're never so miserable living for God when we're not winning souls and we're not growing ourselves. But if we'll grow, the life will come. If we'll grow right here, our life will come. The joy will come. The power will come. The peace will come. Is this okay this morning? The Apostle Paul's burden for the lost was great. But he also realized that the power he was given to reach the lost was equally great. Some of us don't reach out to anybody because we don't feel like we have the words, or we don't feel like we know enough, or we don't feel like they'll listen. But soul winning actually begins in the prayer room. Soul winning will begin with fasting. If you'll try it this way, you'll have better outcome. You pray for God to lead you to somebody. You fast for the ability to have the right words, to say the right things. Sometimes it's not actually talking. Sometimes it's just being available, putting your arm around them, saying God loves you. I've had to tell some of you that I just don't have the words for what you're going through. But I'll do my best to be your pastor. And I'll pray for you. And I'll do what I can to be available to you. I'll seek God for messages. And over the pulpit, I'm going to trust God that the right words is going to come and heal you. So we have to do it that way. We have to pray. We have to fast. And we have to seek God for the ability to reach that person. Now, when you go out to reach a person and you've prayed and fasted for that, then God's going to drop in your little toolbox just the right tools. They may seem weird. They may seem strange. They may seem inappropriate. But you just wait and listen. God sent me to the crack houses and the worst of the worst to win in Cheneyville. But after I had won so many of them, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I walked in the police department dressed just like this. And I said, I'm here to see a man. And I called his name. They said, you're looking for him? I said, yeah. He said, good luck. We are too. And he said, that man holds the record in Rapides Parish of being arrested more than any other person. He says, you're not ever going to find him. He comes around the desk and he pulls my coat open and he searches me. He says, what you going to do, kill him? I said, no, I'm not a government agent. I'm not any. I said, I'm a minister. He laughed. He said, we've been trying to change him for 14 years. He says, there's nothing you can do to change him. I said, I'm sorry you know so little about God. He got angry. Another officer pushed him gently but sternly to the side and said, come on, man. He says, we've got an idea where he is. He said, I can't lead you to him because I don't know you, but I'll go with you. And so he leads me to the back of the city to a bayou in a cane field. It's dark. 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he pulls over and he says, we think he is in there. And he points to an old, dark Methodist church building. The Methodist church building was on the historical marker. It was Civil War era. And so I pull up about 100 yards from the building and I walk in the night to the church building. And I look through the crack of the front door and I see a candle burning close to the floor. I said, well, if I come in the front, he's going to run out the back. If he runs, the law is going to catch him and I won't have the right chance. So I stood on the porch and I began to pray a minute out loud. And as I prayed just a few minutes, I heard an elderly lady lift her voice. Who's there? She come and opened the door and she let me in. I told her I was a minister and I'd come to teach the gospel. She said, that is exactly what I'm doing. She said, the Lord must have sent you to help me. Laying beneath the doors was this man. And she had an old rocking chair and she was quilting. Or crocheting, whatever you do. And she was rocking, and she was witnessing to that man beneath the window where the law couldn't see. And I stood there, and there he was. And I gave him the gospel. I preached to him. I taught him. And that man was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he became our bus driver. Make a long story short, you never know what God will use you to do. And as I come to a close this morning, in this late hour, the church is in need. God needs the church to raise up more than ever before. It's time for the people to take the challenge. It's time for us to realize that we're not some kind of wasted expense on the kingdom, but we are a people who have been called and chosen for such a time as this. You are a valuable individual. You are an important person. And we need to have a broken heart. We need to have a contrite spirit. And we need to reach forth with the call for the call greater than we ever have before. We need to embrace the mission more than we ever have before. In 2015, it's time for people who really love Jesus to step out of the darkness and come down to the center and say, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to win a soul. I want to be used to change somebody's life. Horace is still winning souls. He's still driving church buses. And in 1 year, he had filled up our 24-passenger bus. I got rid of that. I bought another one. He filled it up. I got rid of that. I bought a 65-passenger bus. He filled that up. He was making 2 and 3 trips before I left that church, before God told me to leave. He was making 2 and 3 trips with a 65-passenger bus every Sunday morning as faithful. And he would drive past the police department and the group of people that said that the church could never change him. Let me tell you something. There's people out there that God wants to make trophies out of, and he wants to prove the world wrong. They will serve God. They will get sober. They will be people who will fear the Lord and live for him and be holy and righteous. But they need a church to stand up and be the church. They need a people who is hungry to do the call of God. If you're in this place this morning and you do not know Jesus, he's in this place. If you're in this place today and you are without God, he wants to feel you and he wants to go back home with you. What shall we do, Peter? In Acts 2 and verse 37, the apostle Peter was asked a question. And he said to them this, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, but you got to be tired of sin. You've got to be tired of ungodliness. You got to be tired of the world, tired of wickedness, tired of running, and no place to turn to. The altar is open this morning. Would you come? And to the church, are you ready to win a soul? Would you come? If you're ready to reach the lost, would you come? If you're ready for God to lead you to that person, would you step out and make your way to this altar and say, God, lead me to them. Lead me to them. Direct me to them, Lord. Show me how to reach them. Show me what to say. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. hallelujah. Oh, sing it to Him. Sing it to Him. Lift your voice. Call on God. Hey! Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Halala baharata yadala bahayaya. Hihoroboko hota hayayaya. Halala hayayaya. All over this building, could we lift our hands this morning? Could we love Jesus? Could we let tears flow? Could we let hearts break? Could we become sensitive to the call of God, to the nudge of the Holy Ghost? Could we become sensitive? Oh, let him show you that face right now. Let Him show you that person. You'd be amazed at what God could use you to do and who He can use you to win. Oh, yeah, Rabahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I've won people that was homeless living in a drainage pipe. I've won people that was homeless living in a dumpster. And I've led attorneys to the upper rooms of POA and prayed them through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptized a judge, the name of Jesus. She come out of the water speaking in other tongues. I don't want to mention it. Everybody knows Peter Jennings, right? Maybe that's a good thing. But he was an anchor man, famous for news. He passed away of cancer. One of his big bosses, I baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Spoke in other tongues as God gave the utterance. Heard sometime later that God had delivered that home of so many things. My point is this. That God can take an average person and use that person to win the lowest all the way to the highest. Don't judge yourself. Just let God decide who it's going to be. The Lord said, go to Applebee's one day. I pulled in Applebee's. He said, she's around the corner. Gave me her name. Told her that she just got back from the doctor. And it wasn't a good report. Never laid eyes on the woman before. Said, before I pray for you, your daughter is with you. The Lord showed me that she's here. She comes out of the restroom, joins her mother, and I lay hands on that woman. She wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost in Applebee's. But a man that pastors in DeVille, Louisiana, told me several months later that he baptized her in the name of Jesus. She came out of the water speaking in other tongues. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let God guide you. Let the Lord lead you. And you'll be surprised at what God will let you do for the kingdom. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord all over this building? Let's love Him. Let's praise Him. In Jesus' name. Lord, we love You and we thank You so much for this beautiful people, this great congregation. Thank You, Lord, for this kind people, people who love their pastor. Lord, I appreciate what You have done with all of us over the last 7 years. Thank You for what You are doing in this community. Thank You, Lord, for the talent and the skills and the ministry and everything collected together. Thank You for all the people who give, who pray, who fast, and who try so hard to make this the great church that it is. Lord, I pray as we leave this building right now, that we will not leave convictions behind. We will not leave the voice of God behind. And we'll witness and we'll tell somebody about what's happening here tonight. That we'll compel people to fill this place up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.